What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today we're doing something a little bit fun here. We're doing the top 25 under 25. We're talking the best young dynasty assets. Going to hit a couple points on each guy as we move through, remind you of how old they are, and kind of just maybe have some back and forth discussion. Well, Brandon, how is it possible that you're doing this by yourself? I am not. I have my man from Belly Up Fantasy Live. If you haven't been watching that, you should be watching it, but I've got my man here, Billy. Billy, tell everybody where they can find you.
Follow me on Twitter at BeWith24, guys. That's kind of where I hang out. Or the Billy at Fantasy Live Twitter as well. You can catch me there, too. So come on over, find us, see us what we got going on there. Everything Brandon Gabor is doing, you're going to enjoy how we're marketing and putting it out there for you so you can easily access it. We're just letting Brandon kind of tell you everything he's up to on our podcast as he's joining our team as well. So it's been a lot of fun, Brandon. And I'm interested in you and doing what you do best. Deep down, these guys. Very fun.
Yes, absolutely. And so the list that we're going to be going through today, guys, is my top 25. So this is how I would rank the youngest guys in the league, the youngest guys for fantasy football, how I would rank them. So it's not like a consensus between me and Billy, but rather mine as the structure for the talking. And me and Billy are going to go back and forth. And at number one, we're talking super flex. CJ Stroud is my number one guy under 25 years old. He's 22 right now, 22 years old, CJ Stroud. He is everything that you want. He brings you safety, almost everything you want. It doesn't give you like the most upside. I think Anthony Richardson might have some better upside, but what's something that sticks out to you about Stroud?
So ultimately, for me, it's that high ceiling that he has on the passing yards. He tore up your Bucks for 470 and 5 scores, but he also had 6 more games over 300 yards and 3 or 4 more right in that 250 range. So other than the 2 games he missed, only a couple few times when he wasn't really getting you up there, that 250-yard mark being that baseline, with the real firepower, with the you know, big touchdown pass days, big yardage days, always being in the tank there too, being 22 years old, showing that firepower, that's what really gets me excited and upset that I don't have more shares of CJ Stroud.
Yeah, we were just talking about right before we started about CJ Stroud and you wanting more shares. And man, that would have been me too if I didn't make a nice middle of the season trade sending Bryce Young and some other assets for him. At number two, and you might disagree on with me on this one, but at number two for me, it's Ja'Marr Chase. He's 24 years old. I think he's going to have the best year of his career this year, and you know, once I do my projections and stuff like that, I will be able to say why and be able to get into that. That's not something I'm going to get into right now, but I mean, T. Higgins is going to be probably leaving after this year, so you've got Ja'Marr Chase just hogging everything. Mixon's gone, Boyd's gone. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is just one of the best for me, Billy.
Yeah, and ultimately, losing Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon, there's, you know, upwards of 150 targets that are going to be available to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And what we saw last year from T. Higgins, the contract situation I've alluded to on Belly Up Fantasy Live, we really haven't seen him do that top-notch performance like what we're used to, what you and I are accustomed to, or kind of peg T. Higgins for doing. So ultimately, that just kind of bodes well more in favor of Ja'Marr Chase moving forward. And really, he is the premier talent at the wide receiver position in the NFL, and really kind of a guy that's going to have a floor of about 1,200 yards if he stays on the field most of the season.
Yeah, and at number three, I've got Justin Jefferson. He's also 24 years old, and I'm curious, is Justin Jefferson somebody you would rather have than Ja'Marr Chase, and if so, why?
Right now, no, but that's all kind of just QB dependent. If somebody were to end up in Minnesota that I'm really, really high on, if they were to make a move for a vet, especially Justin Jefferson gets right back in there. But really, that's a preference game. Do you like the big play where you're going to get like the monster days, but you're also going to have a little bit less of a floor with Ja'Marr Chase versus Justin Jefferson just based on that style of play? So if I'm looking for a guy that I know stalwart, 15 points guaranteed every week is Justin Jefferson. If I'm a little bit of a gambler, I'm probably more on of a Ja'Marr Chase guy.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And I think it's something that might change this year because Ja'Marr Chase, you know, with those stronger availability of targets for him, and him being one of the only guys that's left in the offense, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be more consistent as well. So that's something I'm excited to see, and I really do think he's going to produce. As long as Joe Burrow can stay healthy and be good to go 100%, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have a career year this year. Then that's Justin Jefferson at three, who I'm a big fan of. I'm hoping that they can get Drake May. I know you're a big J.J. McCarthy guy. I do think Drake May just gives more upsides, better at targeting the middle of the field, better at deep balls, stuff like that. J.J. McCarthy's, you know, good in his own right, but I would prefer May there. But either way, you know, if they get one of these top quarterbacks, as long as it's not Jaden Daniels, who would take away from the passing volume available because of his legs, that'll be nice for Justin Jefferson. Maybe have to put him in contention right there with Chase. At four, I've got Anthony Richardson, 21 years old. There is an argument in my mind that exists that Anthony Richardson should be number one on this list. He's younger. He's probably going to be better for the next 4 or 5 years when his legs are in it, as long as he can stay healthy, than Stroud. So what are your thoughts on Anthony Richardson, Billy?
Just an absolute horse of an athlete, 6'4", north of 240, and really we've seen a couple little nice sample sizes of Anthony Richardson. You know, obviously the injuries, thankfully, were more concussion-based early in the year, but then we did end up with like a shoulder, I believe, is what kept him out for the long haul last season, and we didn't get to see him at all with, you know, Jonathan Taylor. So I'm really excited to see them fully healthy together on the field together, and the fantasy upside of this guy with the rushing and the throwing. To your point, I really thought Anthony Richardson, kind of that narrative that he was more of a raw prospect, and you kind of proved me wrong digging into some numbers. So the more and more I see and think about Anthony Richardson, the more and more I'm excited for him, and I really want to see him bring Josh Downs along as well, a guy that we saw be pretty exciting last year at times. So I think he's in a really good situation, super talented kid. I just hope that Shane Steichen gets this offense right for him.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing to me, is that last point you just made. Shane Steichen, man, he has created offenses and helped quarterbacks be so good. Jalen Hurts at the peak of his powers because of Shane Steichen. Justin Herbert, his offensive rookie of the year, was with Shane Steichen. That's arguably the best year Herbert has had, depending on what kind of things you like, whether it's efficiency or volume or whatever you prefer when you're saying who's good and who's not. And then Anthony Richardson looked great in the first two games. You know, by points per game, it's kind of a silly thing to throw out, but we don't have anything else we can do because he only played 2.5 games. But if you look at it, he's averaging just about 25 points per game in fantasy. He had over 70 fantasy points in 2.5 games. It's craziness. So Anthony Richardson, somebody I like a lot. I would take all four of these guys we've talked about over my next guy, obviously. That's why I have it ranked this way. Even though he is such a stud, Bijan Robinson, 22 years old, running back, obviously, with Atlanta. We've got some big changes there in terms of the coaching, which is part of the reason why I have Bijan so high. He is my RB1, of course. I just think that it's better to still take these guys that are a little bit older in Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, but at the wide receiver position with the longevity. That's why I would rather have him over Bijan. Do you think that this is too high for Bijan, or do you think he should be lower? What's your thoughts here?
You know, I think Bijan has to be kind of up here with these upper echelon of guys, but unfortunately, he's just a victim of being a running back, right? These receivers and quarterbacks, especially if you're in Superflex, puts the quarterbacks into a different realm value-wise, but Bijan has to be the premier guy. Really, though, the unfortunate thing about Bijan is we saw zero consistency in his usage whatsoever, and when we did see some usage, it wasn't very good. We had games where he's getting north of 15 carries and averaging south of 3 yards a carry, right? It was just a disaster of a mess. But early in the year, we had, you know, 200 yard games out of the gate out of his first five, looking really promising, but then he only had, you know, 15 or more carries like three times the rest of the season. And really, he did get a ton of receiving work, 86 targets, 58 catches. That's a lot of receiving work. If he's getting a larger share of the work there, those receiving numbers, I think, could go up, which is just going to make him more valuable. Obviously, touchdowns, 8 total, not super special, but 976 yards on just over 200 carries, you guys. That's really exciting for a guy that really we didn't see get over 20 carries but one time last year. I expect that to change as they feature him in this offense moving forward.
Yeah, and another thing actually to touch on Bijan a little bit more, and by the way, guys, everyone listening, if there are some things that me and Billy are talking about that we clearly have talked about before, talking numbers, stuff like that, like how we said Anthony Richardson, I kind of showed him why he's not as raw as everyone thinks. That stuff is going on at Belly Up Fantasy Live. another place that I'm producing content over there with Billy and our boy Chris. And so if you guys want that stuff, go check that out. But to continue on here with Bijan, something that's really important to me is people, because I want to give people the conversation they may be looking for. And a lot of people are concerned that, hey, will Bijan actually be able to get more receiving work? I mean, they're getting Kyle Pitts, who's supposed to be healthy now. They added Darnell Mooney. They added Rondale Moore. All this, you know, new pieces to the offense. But the difference here is he doesn't have to even have a better target share. His target share can get worse, and he can still get more targets because Kirk Cousins and that offense are going to soar to new heights. Kirk Cousins is coming from the Vikings being top five in pass attempts the last 3 years in a row. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at bringing over here to Atlanta, is just a bunch of pass attempts, maybe not to the same degree as Minnesota, but still a lot. So that's something to keep in mind for Bijan. And also that despite being a first-round pick in the top 10 of the NFL draft, he had less than 50% of the running back carries, not just the team carries, but the running back carries for the Falcons last year. And Kyren Williams, the guy who was the running back for the new coaching staff in LA, he had 75 or 79, I forget off the top of my head, one of those two, percent of the carries of the running back room. Well, Bijan's going to get that. So that's something that I love too. Jahmyr Gibbs, honestly, he's neck and neck with Bijan for me. 22 years old, getting the receiving work, getting high touchdowns in a great offense. What are your thoughts on him, Billy?
I'm glad you said that they're neck and neck for you, because I was just going to make the point that coming into last year in our dynasty drafts, these guys were not even on the same planet for me. I like Jahmyr Gibbs. I love the prospect. But Bijan is that all-world guy where Gibbs kind of has a role in a style of play, right? But ultimately what we saw was Jahmyr Gibbs be extremely productive. Anytime this guy gets double-digit carries, he's money in the bank. And we saw a really big day against the Raiders early in the year where he had like 26 carries over a buck 50 in a score. And so that kind of workload for a guy like this, like if Monty were to miss any kind of time, I'm not sure what the fantasy numbers might look like for a 5 or 6 game stretch where they had to ride Jahmyr Gibbs for this workload, because anytime he gets a big workload, the numbers just start getting ridiculous. And then that's what makes me really excited about him. And he's in an offense where, you know, health wise he's going to get protected a little bit by having Monty to take some of those really grungy, grind-out carries out of his workload.
100%. 100%. And that's one of the things that are really good. I always like to compare Jahmyr Gibbs to Alvin Kamara because, you know, they've got Dan Campbell, who was there in New Orleans with Kamara and is now running the same type of carry share and style of offense for the running backs, at least, with Jahmyr Gibbs. I know Ben Johnson's kind of taking the reins of the offense there, but we see him being used the same way that Dan Campbell and the Saints used Kamara. And he lasted for a long time. He was top 10 running back the first 5 years of his career, speaking to Kamara and being under 200 carries a season. So that's kind of what we're looking at with Gibbs. Breece Hall, I think you're a little bit more well-versed on the guy than I am. He is somebody that I do like a lot. He's somebody young. But when he came out, I was not in a position drafting high that year to be able to get really any shares of Breece Hall, so he's not somebody I pay as much attention to as everybody else. He is somebody that I like. What are your thoughts on him?
So, yeah, Breece Hall got to follow Montgomery up right out of Iowa State, kind of the same batch of guys. He was there with Brock Purdy, and I knew very early on that he was a lot more special than Montgomery, who I think is a very, very solid player. However, Breece Hall, kind of that upper echelon of athlete, right? A lot faster guy, a little bit bigger build, and just more athletic. Does a lot more things, a little more special. But last year, we did see his success rate go down, yards per carry go down. But really, that year one, we only saw a 7-game sample before he tore that ACL. And he was coming off an ACL injury and still averaged 4.5 yards per carry on one of the more abysmal offenses we have seen. And led the NFL from the running back position in receptions and yards. Now, I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers keeps that going, right? But the potential is what makes that special, because this is a guy that given 250, 275, 280 carries, he's built to handle him. He's that kind of running back. And now if he's going to catch north of 50 or 60 balls, that puts him in a territory where there's maybe only 3 or 4 guys in recent memory getting that kind of opportunity, both in the run game and in the receiving game. And with Aaron Rodgers under center, him staying healthy, they've made some moves to kind of improve this Offensive line, they added Mike Williams. I think Breece Hall might have an opportunity to really make an impact in that rushing yards. I think this guy could have north of 1,500 rushing yards if he stays healthy. And I just love the talent that he is. And in the situation with Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's not the guy that everybody gets the key on going into year three like we did last year with the quarterback carousel.
100%. That is something so important with these Jets, and we are going to get to the other Jet that I have very high on this list, but I don't want to go out of order, so we'll wait a second. But Aaron Rodgers coming back, look, I am one of the most pessimistic guys on Aaron Rodgers you will find, but I still recognize that Aaron Rodgers is a significant upgrade to anything that Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall have been working with for the last 2 years. Breece Hall, he might be already an efficient guy, but he will be able to continue that efficiency. And don't expect this offense to become like a super crazy pass happy more than they have already been. They've been passing a good amount already. They're not going to just start throwing it way more with Rodgers, especially coming off the injury with the age, nursing, you know, his Achilles and all that stuff. They're going to continue to give the ball to Breece Hall, and he is going to be probably more efficient. So I love that for him. Amon-Ra St. Brown comes in at number 8 for me, 24 years old. One of those guys that I really try to learn my lesson with going forward and becoming better as an analyst. And that's because Amon-Ra St. Brown, truth be told, was not somebody that I was very high on coming out of college. He was not somebody I was recommending for people to draft. And last year, Rashee Rice, another one, was somebody I wasn't really, really in on. And now I'm starting to see these guys, this type of mold of wide receiver, and seeing the value that they bring and what it was that I was missing out on. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's a target hog. He's in good offense. What are your thoughts there?
Man, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm right there with you, man. This is probably one of the biggest whiffs of my entire fantasy life. And I don't really know why. Just not a guy that I knew a ton about coming out of college and going to Detroit. Wasn't the best situation at the time. But what we have seen out of him, 3 years of consistent progression. And now the numbers are just getting absolutely ridiculous, you guys. Targets are growing. Receptions are growing. Yards are growing. And last year, we're over 12 yards of reception and over 1,500 yards. Double-digit touchdowns. And the success rate is saying right there, a little above 60%. This is a guy that's really, really talented, but for some reason, easy to overlook at the same time. But production-wise, right there with the top-notch wide receivers, and at 24 years old in this offense right now, you couldn't have a more exciting piece, and I'm not sure you're able to trade for him in your dynasty leagues.
Yeah, and then Garrett Wilson, another guy very similar. He's coming in at 9 for me in the top 25 under 25, 23 years old. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Garrett Wilson is in the same tier when this year is over, the same tier as Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb. And for those wondering why CeeDee Lamb is not on the list, because it depends on what time you're listening to this episode. He's under 25, but he turns 25 in April. So that's why I took him out, because I don't want to outdate my podcast in a week. So that's why CeeDee Lamb's not on this list. But Garrett Wilson, 23 years old, I mean, same kind of thing with the conversation on Breece Hall. It's just the situation is going to be way better. He was among the target leaders in the NFL if he didn't have the most targets. I don't know if you know off the top of your head, Billy, but I know Garrett Wilson had north of 160 targets last year, bordering right there at like 10 per game. And if he's getting that with Rodgers, which we know is a guy that loves to target his number one wide receiver, maybe over-target them, and Garrett Wilson has a similar skill set, especially in the red zone, as Devontae Adams, it's somebody that's going to be very, very good for fantasy. I'm really excited for him. Do you have any trepidation or anything on Garrett Wilson that gives you hesitation, Billy?
I don't. Here's why. I just know what the talent is. And really, we know what the quarterback situation and the whole offensive temperature in New York hasn't been good. He's really, outside of Breece Hall, the only thing you're super excited about. But if he keeps getting this kind of targets, Brandon, we're over 300 targets in 2 seasons, but just, you know, 1,100 and 1,000 yards receiving in his 2 years, that's pretty good. But I expect those numbers to escalate very, very quickly with Aaron Rodgers under center. And ultimately, man, the biggest thing that's going to change, I see, is the touchdown. 7 touchdowns in 2 seasons. Yep. That does not match the talent whatsoever. And really, this is a guy that's catching, you know, well under 60% of his targets. When the talent he is, he's going to be around that 70% range, or at least way north of 60, 65, you guys. So when that happens, we're going to be seeing over 100 catches, north of 1,250, and double-digit touchdowns. Now we're already getting up there to where, what did CeeDee Lamb do last year? That was wide receiver 1 numbers, you guys. He's that kind of talent. And with Aaron Rodgers under center, there's no reason to expect or suspect that he can't do that if he's on the field for 17 games for a third straight year.
Yeah, and Billy, another thing too is when I did my projections last year, Garrett Wilson came out as my wide receiver 4. I think
yes.
it was either wide receiver 3 or 4, and I was so excited about him. Like, he's going to kill it, and then, boom, first snap, Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, dude, this Jets curse on the quarterbacks is just something else. Hopefully,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't strike back. And I guess that's the only thing that can really take Garrett Wilson down. Drake London at number 10, 22 years old, a really good young guy, probably younger than people are realizing. I mean, he's coming from the same class as Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave. Wilson and Olave are 23 years old. Drake London is 22, and he just got a huge upgrade at quarterback with Kirk Cousins. They're going to throw the ball more than they did with Arthur Smith. And, you know, Kirk Cousins obviously doesn't mind throwing the ball a lot to his wide receiver 1 and Justin Jefferson. He's not the type of quarterback that spreads it out to 5 or 6 different targets. So you know London's going to be locked in on his target share, probably see a boost from last year. His rookie season, he had 28% target share, went down last year. I think that's going to go back up north of 27, maybe 28%, and he might be sitting there at like that 29, 30% mark. So he's somebody I'm really excited for, and the touchdowns. You have anything to add on him, or did I kind of steal it all away?
Well, Just a couple little things, man. I'm not sure anybody's benefited more from the offseason acquisition that his offense has done and the guy that we're seeing those constant progressions in the important places. So I'm buying Drake London, whatever the cost is right now, because if you have been watching anything Justin Jefferson's been doing, similar system, same quarterback, and maybe a bigger, more easy to hit target than a smaller receiver like Justin Jefferson. So really that red zone target, we could see touchdown skyrocket for Drake London.
Yeah, and I've the more and more I think about the changes of that offense, I just find myself moving Drake London up. I mean, I've got him at number 10 on the top 25 under 25. And if you're looking at the wide receivers ahead of him, it's Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. And then who are we missing that's not under 25? CeeDee Lamb, that's it. Drake London, guys, my wide receiver 6 right now in Dynasty. Then Sam Laporta comes in making appearance for the tight ends here at 11. I am somebody that highly values tight ends compared to most people if the tight end produces or can produce elite numbers. When I break down VOR, value of a replacement player, it's something that people that have listened to my podcast for a while are familiar with. And, you know, I have to go through every single year and teach people more about it because it's something that I kind of created. And when you're looking at VOR, value of a replacement player, what you can expect one fantasy asset to produce compared to the opponent, right? Tight end, if you have an elite one, is the best advantage you can have. It's better than having the RB1. It's better than having the QB1 or the wide receiver 1. Having tight end 1, especially because Kelce was so much better, was giving you 6-7 points a week more than your opponent's tight end. And that is something that I could see Laporta developing into. Now, we do have better depth in the tight end position, but speak a little bit to Laporta. And then, if you want, transition us into my number 12.
So here's the big thing about Sam Laporta is there's only 3 times last year we saw this guy have fewer than, one time last year we saw this guy have fewer than 5 targets. That's the biggest thing for a tight end is actually getting a consistent workload, right? 10 touchdown passes, over 80 receptions. I don't think you can ask a whole lot more from the tight end position than what you got out of Sam Laporta last year, especially for a guy that was kind of the second fiddle tight end in your rookie draft last year. So definitely excited about where you were getting him. Kind of early mid second round is where I was seeing him. However, I'm in Hawkeye country, so everybody was really excited, but definitely a ascending young talent in that Lions offense. And then that brings us kind of up to Kyle Pitts at your number 12 here, another tight end. And this is a guy that everybody was really high on coming out. We spent Uber money trading up to get him in our dynasty drafts and really have been let down after that really big 1,000-yard, I guess, rookie season. But, you know, to put it in perspective, Sam Laporta didn't have 1,000 yards, just north of 880, and he had 10 touchdowns, where Kyle Pitts had 1,026 and 1 touchdown, and we were pretty excited about it. But Kirk Cousins coming to town, we've seen Hawkinson be, productive with him, as well as just a lot of other guys. When they're talented, Kirk Cousins finds them. I think if you're holding Pitts, hold on, man. It's just about to pay off, and if anybody in your league is selling him, buy him now.
Yes. So he is my dynasty tight end 2 now. I moved him up that much. And he, I think, is Maybe the only thing that makes your comment from earlier wrong, Billy, about Drake London is Kyle Pitts might be the biggest beneficiary of the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because not only is he getting Kirk Cousins, right, and not only was he somebody who had one of the worst off-target rates in the entire NFL by a large margin, getting missed by 5 yards every other target that he gets. But he's
unreal, too.
Yeah, literally unreal. And he's also somebody that was recovering from injury last year. And so if he's completely healthy, I mean, this guy is an athletic freak. He's 6'6". He's good after the catch. He can run routes. I mean, people were thinking about putting him and having him consider playing wide receiver, being a wide receiver coming out of college. And that's how athletic he is at his size. He is a enigma. And now he gets to be fully healthy and have a real quarterback. Guys, Kyle Pitts had a better rookie season than Sam Laporta did, save for touchdowns. Without accounting for touchdowns, you know, Pitts produced more. He had more yardage. I don't know about receptions, probably not, because he was more bigger play.
No, but with he was 68 to about 80-some, but that big difference being the yards. I mean, only one guy had 1,000 yards receiving last year in the tight end position at all, and that was George Kittle. And Kyle Pitts, we saw do that as a rookie.
Exactly, 100%. So he's somebody that people need to be considering as, hey, he could be the dynasty tight end one next year. I mean, he is more explosive than Laporta. He has just as good of a quarterback now as Laporta, and he's the same age as Laporta. So when we're looking at it that way, think maybe change your mind on Kyle Pitts if you're not too high on him. Chris Olave, for me, at 13, he's 23 years old. He's somebody that really just needs to get a better situation. It's tough. He's one of those talented wide receivers, kind of in the light of what DJ Moore was when he was stuck in Carolina for a while. I feel like if he just gets a change of scenery, he could also be in the top tier of these wide receivers, or maybe just below. Unfortunately, that situation is kind of holding him back, Billy.
Yeah, I love Chris Olave, and I'm really late to the party on him coming out. I was just so locked in on Garrett Wilson that I just kind of forgot to go after Chris Olave, and I'm really kicking myself for not doing so. A lot of progression going on with this guy, but like you said, he's stuck in a not fun situation in New Orleans, and I'm not a giant Derek Carr fan, and really the aging Kamara and salary cap situation kind of makes it a lot less attractive as we move on here. But ultimately, the talent is still prevailing, right? He's still productive, over 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns. We want to see that go up. However, super, super talented guy, but maybe just a little bit of the production as well. We're a little bit down on him situation-wise as well.
Yep, and then at 14, I have Puka Nacua, 22 years old, which was actually surprising to me. I'm not sure exactly why, but I felt like he was an older prospect. I thought he was kind of in that Tank Dell bucket as somebody who was in college a little bit longer, but he's not. He's super young. If people want to argue, honestly, I might convince myself right now, just thinking through it, to put him over Chris Olave because he's got a better situation. He is younger. The one thing that scares me about Puka Nacua is that he is a zone beater. He's really good against zone, doesn't create much separation, not great against man, and I'm just curious to see how his career will develop over time after, you know, having such a great rookie season. Because Billy, I don't know if I've gotten with you since I've started this new study here that I'm working through right now, but I've been going through rookie wide receivers over 800 yards in their rookie season and charting their efficiency, or not charting, but going through their efficiency and seeing how it changes in year two. And almost every single wide receiver, without fail, gets significantly worse in their yards per target, which is the balance of target rate and yards per reception. It encompasses how many target or how many yards you're getting every time the ball's thrown your way. And so that's something I think he's going to see a dip in, because everybody has seen a dip in it after having such an amazing rookie year. We're talking Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, all these guys, AJ Brown, Mike Evans, everybody gets worse in year two. So I don't want people to think, oh, Puka Nacua, yeah, going into year two, he's going to get even better. That's a very dangerous mindset, a mindset that has proven true to be wrong almost every single time. What are your thoughts here?
And ultimately, we could have seen Puka Nacua's best fantasy season already have happened. I mean, coming into the year, you know, we all expected Cooper Kupp to still be the guy, and ultimately, I think him being missing thrusted Puka Nacua into a role that maybe he wouldn't have kind of gotten put into otherwise. And really, we saw the production kind of be up and down, hit or miss between him and Cooper Kupp as the season went on. My biggest concern is not with the player. I think Puka's fine. I think he's great. The more you dive in, he's solid. But to your point, there's going to be some regression. regression. There's no way this guy's going to come out and have 100 receptions for 1,500 yards every year just because he did it as a rookie. But my big thing holds me back really investing in Puka, and probably the reason why the places I do have him, I'm shopping him, is because I'm not looking forward to the Rams post-Stafford and possibly post-Sean McVay. If I'm really investing in Puka Nacua right now, I might be trying to sell high.
You know, that's an interesting wrinkle, and honestly, Billy, I really appreciate you coming on. I love talking with you. You always find the cracks and the extra things that I'm forgetting or leaving out, and I totally forgot about that Sean McVay wrinkle that, you know, last year, all of these rumors and everything that he might be leaving, and then he comes back. I'm hoping, for Puka Nacua's sake, and for another guy that we'll get to at the very end of our list, I'm hoping that the youth that he has found and hit on and developed is going to be reason enough for him to stay, despite maybe losing Stafford in a year or two and, you know, already losing Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey's out the door. You know, he's losing a lot of guys, but I'm hoping that the young nucleus that he's collecting is going to give him reason to stay. Number 15 on our under 25 list is Dalton Kincaid, 24 years old, slightly older than Pitts and Laporta. I personally feel like, especially with Diggs kind of taking a step back, I feel like Kincaid could be producing neck and neck with Laporta, maybe on a, honestly, not even, I was going to say on a less reception, higher yards per target, but honestly, he might be right up there in receptions too, because we know the Bills like to throw the ball a lot. You know, Josh Allen is looking for targets. He lost Gabriel Davis. Diggs is taking a step back. I think they're a hot spot to draft a wide receiver in the back of the first round, but especially if they don't, I'm really liking Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, I think Kincaid's going to be an upgrade to that second receiving option to Stephon Diggs in this offense. I think it's just more how they use him. And when they use him, the days that they do, they target him really heavy, and he has big productive days. But we were kind of victim of the rookie tight end syndrome where, yeah, big days, but the numbers at the end of the year, a little bit underwhelming. Only 2 touchdowns, but hey, that's not that bad, like, considering Kyle Pitts only had 1 his rookie season. 73 receptions is pretty promising for a young guy stepping into an offense that was really already kind of set and in place, and he wasn't supposed to be the featured tight end necessarily with Dawson Knox still in the building. So for me, it's all in on Dalton Kincaid. I will go on a limb and say he may be a more explosive player than Sam Laporta, so I feel like his upside might be a little bit higher, but the consistency may not be there week to week that you get with a Sam Laporta.
Yeah, and then we've got another tight end right here, because like I said, I mean, if you can land one of these really good tight ends, especially in Dynasty where tight end lasts longer than running back, and actually, believe it or not, if a tight end is producing early, they last longer than wide receiver because they're way less reliant on athleticism than wide receivers are. Trey McBride here at 16, 24 years old. I just want to throw out some numbers for Trey McBride. I do remember he was somebody I was very high on. I did draft a couple shares of when he came out as a rookie, super excited for what he was going to bring to the table. And then he was just had a quiet season behind Zach Ertz. And, you know, people so quiet that some people forget that he wasn't a rookie last year. I mean, I've heard multiple people in different places mention Trey McBride's rookie season, unknowingly talking about his second season. And when we're looking at Trey McBride, I mean, in terms of target accuracy, right? How accurate were the targets he was getting? He was 35th among tight ends in target accuracy. And despite that, he was second overall in yards per route run, 2.03. He was sixth in yards per team pass attempt. He was third in true catch rate. He was fifth in target separation. He was fourth in average cushion. Every single thing. And this is with Marquise Brown out. This is with him not having an elite wide receiver across from him. So if you bring in a Malik Nabers, a Marvin Harrison Jr., like a lot of people are expecting, that's going to help his efficiency. He might lose a little bit of targets here because he was a huge target hog, but it will be balanced out by having a better offense, better opportunity at touchdowns, and better efficiency overall in terms of yards per reception, where he was at 10.2. I could see him being at like 12.5, 13 if they bring in a Marvin Harrison or somebody of that light. Trey McBride, the more and more I look into him, the more I like him a lot.
Yeah, this is a guy I wasn't super familiar with just because he was coming out of Colorado State, right? And who watches a whole lot of their film? Not me. But ultimately, I was late to the party last year, and he's one of the guys that I'm glad we're talking about tonight because I have a little earmark next to him for my off season to really dive in and find out what it is and how I miss this guy. But let me just read off a little stretch of this guy that I have written down here that really got my attention. We're talking receptions here, not just targets, okay? This is a stretch that he put together in the back half of the season. 10 receptions, 3, 8, 5, 7, 8, 10, 6, 6. That's pretty damn good floor for a tight end, and that's all consecutive games, you guys. So if you want a guy that's going to get a consistent target share, a pretty good floor with just the receptions, especially if you're in a tight end premium, north of 80 catches, the only guy really 81 for 825 on that same kind of trajectory, catches and yardage-wise as Laporta, but only the 3 touchdowns really holding him back for being way up there fantasy-wise. So Trey McBride, you have to be really excited about because you did not invest in him too heavily, and you have yourself a premier young tight end moving forward.
Absolutely. And another thing that we've got, or another guy we've got here, 17, Devon Achain, 22 years old. Now, it's funny because I really struggle, and you know, me and Billy just wrapped up our Dynasty running back top 24 rankings for Belly Up, and he's somebody that I have ranked not too low compared to consensus. I have him at like running back 8 or 9, but he's not somebody that I'm drafting. And it's just because I'm struggling. I have this internal struggle on Devon Achain because he's somebody that when he's on the field healthy, he's awesome. I just don't trust him to be on the field. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on his injury history, being that he's missed, or he's had 3 injuries that have caused him to miss time over the last 21 games in college, in the preseason, and then in the regular season. And he's not somebody that's built very strong or gives me confidence to recover and push through injuries or anything like that. He's relying on his speed. So really, that's the only thing holding me back from Devon Achain.
Yeah, he really burst on the scenes having 3 straight 100-yard games as soon as he got any work, but ultimately 450 yards over about 36 or 7 carries in 3 games, and then we didn't have him for a month. And that just kind of tells you the story. He played, you know, one play when he did come back and missed another game. So really, you lost him for 6 weeks after 3 really big boom days. And then after that, it was kind of, you know, dependent on the usage or touchdowns, things like that. But nonetheless, super explosive guy, a little bit undersized for me. It kind of leads me back to Raheem Mostert. I always call him Raheem Nostert because it's just a no for me. I really like the player. And so ultimately, my fantasy team, I keep him off of it so I can root for him, enjoy the big plays, because week to week, just not the type of player I try to plug into my running back positions.
So I'm not sure if I caught exactly what you were saying there about Raheem Mostert. Are you avoiding the whole backfield, or are you leaning a certain direction?
No, so ultimately, I just try to stay away from these guys that on a given day can give you 8 carries for, you know, an RB one day, or 8 carries for not worth being in your flex spot. I don't like the inconsistency with the boomer bust. I call it kind of the Deshaun Jackson syndrome, where, yeah, ultimately, fantasy-wise, he's a, you know, maybe top 12, 14 guy, but week to week, you know, you might be getting barely a top 50 guy if you're not getting a wide receiver one guy. And that's how I feel about these home run hitting running backs. Mike McDaniel's offense in general is kind of that attacking. They're looking for home runs, right? They're not really just leaning on the run game to run it 30 times today. They want to gash you, get big plays. They're kind of like pitching at Devon Achain and turning things into a punt return. And I'm just not sure that I'm buying in the value that really is there because of how, you know, awesome he is when he does have big days. So for me, he's like, I think I got him at my number 12. We talked about a little bit ago on Belly Up Fantasy Live, and I'm not sure I will ever have him a whole lot higher than that because this isn't a guy I see getting a 200 plus carry workload.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. I agree with that. Coming in at 19, we've got another young running back, James Cook, 24 years old. He's actually going to be 25 soon, but not in April. Or not like a week from now in April, so I felt comfortable putting him on this list. When I look at James Cook, I see somebody who, while he may not be like Chris alluded to on Belly Up, he may not be somebody that's breaking a lot of tackles or making a bunch of people miss. He is somebody that has good vision. He is somebody that helps the team in expected points added. He's one of the best in the league in stuff run rate, how often he gets 0 or negative yards. He's one of the best running backs in the league. He's got good vision. He gives them what they're looking for. And for those that believe that Josh Allen might take a step back in his rushing yardage, you got to believe it's going somewhere, which means it's probably going to James Cook. I doubt with the receiving that they're losing in the offense, which is another point, actually, that I didn't even think about bringing up earlier when we were talking about him. James Cook, if they don't bring in somebody else to replace Gabriel Davis and a falling off Stephon Diggs, they might end up throwing the ball to James Cook more too. So he's got a lot of avenues to success in an offense that will be good. And I know you had some good points about what he did with and without Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, absolutely. After Ken Dorsey left, Joe Brady utilized him in quite a bit different fashion. Sometimes that was just actually giving him the ball, double-digit attempts, starting to really pick up. And in the passing game, he had some days that really kind of rebounded poor rushing days. So ultimately, a guy that's really fallen behind on the touchdown expectation, only 6 last year, 2 of them rushing. But 445 yards receiving, that's right up there with like Travis Etienne and guys like that, but he's only in the mid-40s reception-wise. So that's a really, really, really good number to anticipate, that if those receiving numbers do go up, that receiving yardage number is going to jump drastically. And that's ultimately of giant value for a guy that already had 1,100 yards rushing. And I expect Josh Allen's touchdowns to temper back a little bit. If we got James Cook into like a 10 or 12 touchdown season, this is going to be a guy that's going to be right up there, probably in the top 8 running backs, you guys, without really getting a gigantic workload. But losing Gabriel Davis, there's going to be some funny-duddy stuff that's going to change in this offense, and I think James Cook is going to be the beneficiary just off of Brady's play calling alone.
Yeah, and then coming in at number 19, we have Zay Flowers, and we've got a really nasty streak of wide receivers here. But just to top off something that I had to look up real quick on James Cook is, like you said, 1,100 rushing yards and almost 450 receiving yards. I mean, just in terms of yardage, despite not being somebody who's getting super, super crazy work, just because of his efficiency and the offense that helps him be efficient, he was in the, I believe, top 5 of running backs in total yardage. So like you said, man, touchdowns, if they come into play, which touchdowns are somewhat volatile. Actually, you know, they're not as volatile as people believe for running back, and I've just learned that every year when I go through projections and stuff like that. But it's still something that can change a lot. And for his specific situation, it is, because Josh Allen had 15 rushing touchdowns. It's probably not going to continue. But let's get into this nice stretch of wide receivers. At 19, I've got Zay Flowers. He is my flavor of this rookie wide receiver class. And, you know, we're going to hit on them all, because at 19, I've got Zay Flowers. And just to give it away, he's 23 years old. At 20, I've got Rashee Rice, who's 23 years old. At 21, I've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's 22 years old. 3 guys from this past rookie class, which honestly a lot of people are ordering all over the place. But Zay Flowers to me, and this might sound crazy, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. Don't be afraid to come at me, Billy, for this. But Zay Flowers, I feel like he has potential, other than the fact that the offense won't have as many passing attempts available. He has potential to kind of develop into, skill set wise, an Antonio Brown type of wide receiver. And, you know, when I watch him, a lot of his movement, the way he moves, the way he can change direction and keep speed through changing direction, which is something very rare. Outside of Tyreek Hill, you didn't really see that with any other guys, because Antonio Brown hasn't really been doing much for a while. But Antonio Brown was another guy that did that. And that's something I see in Zay Flowers. He's a little bit smaller. He's quick twitch, makes people miss. He's very dynamic after the catch, and he's somebody I'm super excited for. I love me some Zay Flowers. I've got him above these guys. How would you order these guys, and what are your thoughts on him?
So Rashee Rice is kind of the apple of my eye, and that's just kind of, he resembles to me kind of that Reggie Wayne style receiver, right? He's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, but he's disciplined, he runs the right routes, he's on the same page with his quarterback, and that's what's important to me when I'm trying to look for longevity in a guy that's going to continue to progress, grow in their role, and produce. But if you are a gambling man, like I've said before, Zay Flowers, it would be your flavor, Brandon. I mean, this is a guy that I think has kind of a, a stereotype, I would say, that, of being just a deep threat. And I don't feel like that's accurate at all.
I feel like
we've seen him just be really deadly in that role. Everybody wanted to compare him to Tyreek Hill because the way he can separate away from DBs running across the field on these long, drawn-out crossing routes, right? But I think when Baltimore starts to use him underneath crossing routes, similar to maybe like the way a Cooper Kupp might be used, where Zay Flowers is going to be tight space running away from his guy to space, and really Lamar Jackson, I think he's a just fine throwing quarterback, and yep. I think as they grow together, him and Zay Flowers could be really, really lethal. 858 yards last year. It just doesn't feel like that's what he had. So to me, that kind of tells me, like, man, 858, and it felt like 558. So that tells me that the potential is there for a seriously big year. And really, Hollywood Brown was a guy that his only wide receiver two season, you know, only top 20 season was in Baltimore. And I think Zay Flowers is a much well-rounded player, football player, than Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you brought that up because he is well-rounded. I'm glad you're dispelling that suspicion of he's just a good deep threat because – honestly, I forgot that there are people that feel that way just because of how much I love Zay Flowers and how much I know that he is a well-rounded wide receiver. And another thing is that in his rookie season, I mean, he had Odell Beckham there with him competing, and Odell Beckham's now gone. Rashad Bateman's coming into the last year of his contract, has not been re-signed. Mark Andrews was hurt and is now going to be back. Mark Andrews is going to help Zay Flowers be more efficient. And people might be saying, well, you know, you did say that thing about the 800 yards. Yes, and I didn't tell you about the qualifier so that I could bring it to you here in this moment. The qualifier for me for that study that I'm doing with the rookie wide receivers and how their efficiency gets worse after an 800-yard, you know, bursting onto the scene rookie season, well, there are guys that do get more efficient. And the only guys to have gotten more efficient from the first year to the second year are guys that had the addition of another elite weapon. T. Higgins did it because he added Ja'Marr Chase. We saw, oh man, I'm trying to remember who the other one was. It was a really good example. I'm slipping my mind right now. But Zay Flowers getting a fully healthy Mark Andrews back is going to be one of those ones that is able to take a step forward after having a pretty decent, solid rookie season. Rashee Rice, I'm gonna let you kind of take this one away. We're just worried about on the field stuff, really. I mean, until something comes out about what's going on off the field, I don't really want to touch on that too much. What do you got on Rashee Rice?
Yeah, I just really like the way the back half of the season progressed from him. And people talk about the playoff run, which really was only the Miami game. But let's talk about the back half of the regular season, where he was really getting right up there, double-digit targets or nine or so, and turning those into pretty good days, getting in the end zone. You got to like the development that happened there. And obviously, in an offense with Patrick Mahomes, there's nothing to dislike. Obviously, Travis Kelce getting a little more long in the tooth, and we added Hollywood Brown, right? But I think that might help Rashee Rice a little bit, just kind of grow into that more possession wide receiver that's going to take a little bit of the heat off of Travis Kelce's expectations, and Hollywood Brown hopefully stretch that defense and help free up some of that underneath stuff that we expect Rashee Rice to take off of Kelce's play. So I really like Rashee Rice. Obviously the situation makes it even better. Hopefully we get to see him on the field getting this same target share we saw it on the backside of last season continue. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and Rashee Rice to me, I mean, he's one of those guys that I did miss on as a rookie prospect, and he's somebody that I draw comparison to when I'm looking at, for example, a guy like Javon Baker, which I don't know how much you've gotten into this rookie class. I know I've been doing a lot over at Belly Up, and you've been shouldering a lot of that weight over there, Billy, which is I really appreciate you for it, by the way. But when we're talking about Rashee Rice, he's somebody that reminds me of Javon Baker, and it's part of the reason why I like Javon Baker, because I see a lot of the things that Rashee Rice did that I was not really that excited for, but also Javon Baker, just to throw some little heat his way, is also amazing in contested catch situations, which Rashee Rice is like, that's not really his bread and butter. He could be decent at that, but that's not really his thing. But anyways, without, you know, I get sidetracked sometimes. Without doing any more of that, at wide receiver 21, or not wide receiver, sorry, 21 for the top 25 under 25 list, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 22 years old. Where is your level of worry? Because I know there are people all over the place, Billy.
You know, it's one of those situations, man, that you knew coming out of Ohio State, this was a premier talent, period. When he got drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, I think all of us kind of sat back in our seats and went, damn, that wasn't that exciting. We were really wanting to see where this guy landed. But ultimately, if where I do have Njigba, I'm holding tight. I believe in the talent, and I think this coaching staff is going to start changing things around a little bit more. They're going to be doing some stuff different, right? And he already has DK Metcalf there to really take a majority of the brunt of this passing game on, and I think Tyler Lockett kind of starts to fade back as maybe become the three where Njigba steps into that role. But It wasn't fun. It wasn't exciting last year, but this guy's really, really talented. And your boy, Sam Howell, coming to town breathes a little bit of life into the situation for me because we have seen him sling it way more than Geno ever would. You know, Geno's going to play within the game plan, and guys are going to be productive when big plays are there. But ultimately, a guy like Njigba, you want a quarterback that's willing to let some balls go that maybe are less advised throws because Njigba can make some of those bigger plays for you, right?
Less advised throws. That's funny. I like that. All right, so at wide receiver 22, and I'm kind of just with you on Njigba. I mean, I'm just holding and hoping for the best. Wide receiver 22, I've got, oh, I keep saying wide receiver. At number 22, this is a new format for me doing this top 25 list. I thought it would be something kind of fun. George Pickens, 23 years old. One thing I got to say about Pickens, I loved him coming out of college. I was higher than him on most. He was one of my big hits, something that I was really proud of. And that's funny coming from me because I'm a huge separation guy, and Pickens is not a big separator. But a lot of people that come out of college, especially these big guys that aren't separators, they're not good at what they need to be good at, like a Quentin Johnston or a Chase Claypool. They're not good in those contested catch situations. People stereotype their size, their athletic ability, their jumping, their vert, stuff like that, as, oh yeah, they're good in contested catch situations. But when you actually watch them, they don't know how to contort their body well. They don't know how to box out guys. Well, if there is one dude in the NFL who knows how to do it better than anyone else, it's probably George Pickens, at least among guys that are young. I mean, George Pickens is up there giving Davante Adams a run for his money in 50-50 balls, giving DeAndre Hopkins a run for his money in 50-50 balls. And the only other person that can even sniff, in my opinion, the skill that Pickens has once the ball's in the air and in route is Mike Williams, and Mike Williams is always getting hurt. When we're looking at George Pickens, he has now proved, because do you know how many, is he 2 years in now or 3 years?
Yep, two seasons.
Yeah, so he's 2 years in now, and over both of those seasons, he's been extremely efficient, which is not what you would expect from somebody who's not a good route runner, right? That's kind of bucks the norm. And that's what Pickens is. He's an outlier, but he's an outlier that we have to just be able to trust, like a Dez Bryant, like we did with Dez. And he wasn't a great separator either. And that's what Pickens is. And now Deontay Johnson's out the way. And, you know, whatever you believe about these quarterbacks, at least it's not worse. I'm not of the mind that I think these quarterbacks are much better. I'm curious what your thoughts are there, Billy, but but it's not going to get worse. So I like George Pickens there.
Yeah, it's a really wild situation. If you're not high on George Pickens, like I wasn't coming into this offseason, I'm just kind of reviewing last year and kind of amending my opinions and thoughts about guys. George Pickens is one that'll leave you scratching your head because it really felt like he wasn't very good, right? And then you go look at the numbers, you're like, wow, he had almost 1,200 yards receiving. Yeah, sure, only 5 touchdowns. But who played quarterback for the Steelers last year, guys? Well, you know, pick your neighbor. They were just as good. They played just as
pick
well.
Pick your neighbor.
I mean, this guy's 1,140 yards on one of the most abysmal offenses we saw. Like you said, uber talented, maybe doesn't separate the way you want to, but this guy has some power forward experience in his background because body positioning, and if you want the highlight catches, the one-handed snags, the OBJ stuff, George Pickens has all of that in the toolhouse. He's exciting as any prospect coming up right now. Just unfortunately, the Steelers situation hasn't been the most exciting. But I think Russell Wilson could bring, an element of consistency to George Pickens. Ultimately, who else has taken, you know, the number one receiving targets? And with a guy like Deontay Johnson leaving last year, he didn't have a ton of targets. I think, you know, in the 80s. But that's a guy who was getting up there close to, you know, 8 or 10 targets a game consistently. So in that passing game, a huge opportunity for a guy. I mean, 60-some catches and a little over 1,140 yards. If this guy catches 80 balls, Brandon, we're talking about a 1,500-yard receiver.
Yeah, and another thing, the only thing that's been lacking so far in his career has been touchdowns. He had, if you include the rushing touchdown he had in his rookie year, he had 5 touchdowns as a rookie. He had 5 touchdowns last year. But name me a wide receiver who has a more conducive skill set to scoring red zone touchdowns than George Pickens. And you've got Russell Wilson who just threw 10 balls up in the end zone to Cortland Sutton. You're telling me that he, and maybe if Justin Fields comes in, they can't get George Pickens more than 5 touchdowns? 7, 8? On the board, is that realistic? I think that is. And he has upside for more than that. And if he's able to do you know, 8 touchdowns or more, we're talking about him making that leap into the top 24 of fantasy wide receivers. And being that he is young, he deserves to be this high on this list, in my opinion. Jordan Addison, at 23, he's 22 years old, he's 23 on this list. He, to me, is somebody that's just kind of being held back by two things, Justin Jefferson being one of the two, and one that's not going away. And then number two, something that could go away, the lack of a really quarterback that we can trust in that offense. What are your thoughts on Jordan Addison?
Really talented guy and really exploded on the scene last year and kind of became the guy, the big play artist in that offense with Kirk Cousins. 900 yards, 10 touchdowns as a rookie. That is ridiculous, and I don't think it happens again, especially without Kirk Cousins under center. But he is a really good wide receiver, and people forget that he won the Biletnikoff Award at Pitt before he went to USC and teamed up with Caleb Williams, and they had all their fun in the Heisman season for Caleb Williams that we saw regression without Jordan Addison in that huddle. So to me, this guy's a bona fide stud, and people are overlooking him because we're not ever really that excited about Pitt wide receivers, right? And he was overshadowed by Caleb Williams at USC, like I said. So really a big rookie year, but we're really hoping that the quarterback that does end up in Minnesota is you know, catching stride and developing quickly, because Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, it's going to be hard to keep them both that productive double-digit touchdown guys with a young guy kind of under center, in my opinion.
I like that you drew attention to the fact that Caleb Williams' best season was with Jordan Addison, and that he had saw regression when Jordan Addison was gone this past year. And not only that, but Jordan Addison may be very well the reason that Kenny Pickett was a first-round pick. I mean, he was there with Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh, and now Kenny Pickett's a bust. I mean, he had the Mike Evans, Johnny Manziel effect with Kenny Pickett.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, Addison has just shown to be somebody that he's a great route runner. He's good at separating, and he has got safe hands. He's just exactly what you want in a wide receiver, especially a wide receiver too. At number 24 on this list, we're moving out of the wide receiver position. It's been a while. Getting back to running back. Javonte Williams, he's 23 years old, going on 24 very soon, but not soon enough to leave him off the list. What are your thoughts on Javonte? I know we kind of just talked about him and the guy that we're going to get to after. But real quick, I'll just say that Javonte Williams had a very good rookie season, which people forgot about. He was number one in the league in avoided tackles per carry over avoiding defenders, showing really good shifty, nifty, and stoutness there, as we like to say, for Javonte Williams. Yes. And then he tears his ACL. Year two, four games in, and then he gets back. You know, that was his whole second year, was just the four games before the ACL tear, and then he was done. And then last year was his recovery year. And every time somebody's recovering from an ACL, their efficiency takes a huge hit. They're not the same person. It takes time to, one, just build the strength back, because you're not really able to do that with your leg. You're not really able to work out and keep strong and all that stuff while you're recovering, going through physical therapy, all that, but also build the confidence, which is probably the biggest thing, especially for somebody like Javonte, who, you know, excels in quick cuts and making people miss and being shifty. I mean, you put a lot of stress on that knee, so of course he's not going to be the same guy. But now I think I can trust in him being fully healthy back to it, and he's younger than people remember. That's why I like Javonte. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I loved Javonte coming out. Big, strong back that can really do it all. I mean, he catches the ball really well. Him and Michael Carter were both just dual threat assets on that North Carolina team coming out. And like you said, that rookie year was a lot better than people remember. We had over 900 yards rushing. He caught over 40 balls. That's a pretty good workload, and that's kind of what we were expecting to see. And he really only started one game that rookie season, so that's a really good workload. ACL year two, very limited. And last year, year three, we just saw a really abysmal offense with, you know, really not trying to feature anybody or anything. They were really just more trying to figure it the hell out. So in my opinion, Javonte Williams is a guy that if you have him, you're really excited for him, you're not going to sell him, but you might be able to go buy him and get yourself a really solid running back for the next handful of seasons. And if he gets any kind of the receiving workload that we've seen Alvin Kamara in this same offense, I mean, still 47 receptions last year. It wasn't a huge huge year, you know. If he could have north of 60 receptions very, very easily for a guy that I expect to be in the 1,000-yard range rushing.
Yep, and he's got that perfect situation with Sean Payton, who we know is very, very, oh man, what's the word I'm looking for? He just loves to use these running backs in the red zone, is basically what I'm trying to say. And yes. Kamara and Ingram were combining for, you know, north of 25 touchdowns multiple years in a row, the two of them. And while that offense might not be the same because they don't have Drew Brees in terms of touchdown potential, he does like to use the running backs a lot there. So Javonte Williams will have that potential. He will have the receiving, like you said. And Jerry Jeudy's gone, all this stuff going forward. And they're not going to be investing in running back anytime soon. They've got holes everywhere else. They're cap strapped. They're not going to be able to pay anybody to come in. So he's locked in there for the next couple of years. And then, you know, we'll see where the next contract brings him. And then to round it out, guys, the top 25 dynasty assets under 25 years old, I've got Kyren Williams. He's 23. What are your thoughts on Kyren?
Really big surprise last year, and as I think back to my last summer, as I was, you know, you have that revolving roster spot or two that you pick up the guy that you hear the news about, and Kyren Williams was one of those guys, and man, was I excited when I got him. Kicked out the year, he was really running back two to Christian McCaffrey while he was on the field. We did only get 11 or 12 games out of him, but still, over 1,100 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns, and really a guy that we keep hearing the stereotype of the receiving back. Well, the receiving numbers weren't that super impressive of last year, guys, way down there, but what it is, 12 rushing touchdowns, that's going to continue. This offense puts these running backs in a really good position in the red zone to catch or run touchdowns in, and that Kyren Williams being a fifth round pick, I know people want to hate on that.
Yeah.
But what do we talk about the Rams all the time? F them picks, right? A fifth-round pick to this Rams team is the last little bit of pocket scratch these guys had, and they spent it on a running back because they had to have one, and they hit. Almost 100 yards a game rushing when this guy was on the field. If he would have played a full season, we're talking about a guy that probably would have led the NFL in rushing, and none of us really knew who he was until week 8.
Yep, and then for those that are of the mindset that I was a couple weeks ago, and so I started doing some more digging into the subject, which, you know me, I'm a big analytical, statistical-driven, researching type of analyst, and I was of the mindset that, man, Kyren Williams, he's that day three running back that's going to get used, abused, and discarded, just like James Robinson, just like Damian yes. Pierce, but then, like we talked about, and we really, really dove into this on the Belly Up, but one thing just to kind of wrap this all together for Kyren is he's not going to be in that bucket because he's a very good running back. James Robinson, Damian Pierce, they were products of volume, not products of efficiency and making things happen and taking what's there every time and being consistent and reliable. They were maybe consistent and reliable for fantasy, but not necessarily for their offenses. Kyren Williams is a very good running back. He's top 10 in all of the following metrics for running backs: expected points added. He was number one in stuff rate, which means that he got stuffed less than, or not number one, sorry, number 33. I was thinking of Travis Etienne there. He's number 33 in stuff rate, which means that there were 32 running backs getting stuffed more than him. So that's a pretty nice thing to have there for Kyren. And that's over qualifying running backs that are getting a certain number of carries. It's not every running back in the league that's qualifying for that. So he's really good in that stuff. He's good in true yards per carry, taking out for situation, all of that stuff. He's a very good running back. So to go through the top 25, and then I'll kick it to you, Billy, if there's anybody you think I just made a very terrible mistake leaving off the list, or if there's anybody that you think should be way higher or lower, you'll kind of take this over. But just to go through the top 25 so everybody knows where we're at, it's going to be C.J. Stroud, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Anthony Richardson, Bijan Robinson at 5, Jahmyr Gibbs, Breece Hall, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Drake London at 10, Sam Laporta, Kyle Pitts, Chris Olave, Puka Nacua, Dalton Kincaid at 15, Trey McBride, Devon Achane, James Cook, Zay Flowers, Rashee Rice at 20, and the last five from 21 to 25, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, George Pickens, Jordan Addison, Javonte Williams, and Kyren Williams.
Yeah, love the list. I'm glad we got some of these tight ends, man. A really often overlooked position, but the state of the tight end position is in really good hands with these young guys coming up. And that last year's class especially really added to it, with Trey McBride breaking out, Kincaid being a rookie, Laporta, of course, and the resurgence of Pitts, hopefully, with Kirk Cousins there. So, you know, go evaluate your tight end situation. This is the year to go get that problem fixed.
Yes, absolutely. Is there anybody you felt like I left off the list that you were surprised was missing?
One of the guys that we like a lot, and we didn't see a ton of production, and it makes sense that he's maybe off this list, but I really want to get him on there as an honorable mention. And we talked about it with this quarterback way up the list at number four, Anthony Richardson, and that's Josh Downs, a guy that's really overlooked, another North Carolina guy. We just talked about Javonte Williams, but last year, Josh Downs really kind of showed me, eyeball test wise, that this kid is a really good playmaking wide receiver that can play a few different positions on the field, even kind of that flanker stuff for reverses and trick plays. So I'm really excited to see how creative they get with Josh Downs, and I think he could be kind of like his name's avoiding me right now. The Packer. You
Jaden Reed.
projected him to do really well last year.
Jaden Reed.
Yes, Jaden Reed. Josh Downs and Jaden Reed remind me so much of each other, and it's just that utility player. Like, you could just find a way for these guys to get yards, get first downs, and help the offense move. And those guys are really fun to have in flex positions because they have a really nice floor. So Josh Downs for me is a guy that I'm really looking forward to acquiring in more places and seeing how he turns into a player in this new Colts offense.
Yeah, and you're speaking my language because I loved Josh Downs. Actually, this was Billy, just to kind of hype myself up a little bit for the people that have listened this long into the episode. He was one of the many wide receivers that I smashed on as rookies. I mean, the guys that I was recommending and the guys that I drafted the most of, which is obviously not going to be your highly touted guys because that's more, dependent on if you have the pick positioning to get them. But the guys that were going in the second round and later, I mean, almost every wide receiver that I recommended was an absolute smash. Josh Downs, Jaden Reed, Michael Wilson, Puka Nacua, and I mean, Puka and Michael Wilson going much later than the second round. Downs was at the 2-3 turn. And then Tank Dell. Like, all of those guys
Yes.
were more valuable than what you picked them for. I mean, the worst one on that list was Michael Wilson, and I think he's a really good buy right now still. I think he's a good sleeper.
Yes.
So he's somebody that we can be looking at too. But yeah, Josh Downs, I loved him. He's good in contested catch situations too, despite not being the biggest guy. He's got good body contortion, good ball tracking, all that stuff. So this is the list we got put together, top 25, and hopefully I can be as successful in this rookie class, which is absolutely star-studded and has great depth. A lot of people that have been listening to this podcast, they know who my guys are. You know who my guys are: Ricky Pearsall, Adonai Mitchell, Javon Baker, Luke McCaffrey, Brennan Rice, to name a few. But with that said, thank you guys for listening to Deep Dive Fantasy Football. I'm gonna let Billy take it away. Billy, remind everybody, I think you might have been a little in and out in that first minute. Remind everybody where you're at, where they can find you, and what you're working on.
Yeah, man, I want to add one more guy that I'm thinking of
Oh,
just for fun.
absolutely.
Nebraska guy that I'm right in the neighborhood of here in Southwest Iowa, but one of your Buccaneers, and that's Trey Palmer. Likely not going to have Chris Godwin down the line. Mike Evans signed that contract extension. Baker Mayfield and the gang. Trey Palmer, that could be a guy you're going to get relatively cheap right now that could really pay off down the stretch this year and into next year. Really young guy with a 4.33 speed, so a deep threat as well. But follow me at BWIT24 on Twitter. You can catch me hanging out with Brandon on Wednesday nights on Belly Up Fantasy Live, and going to be doing a lot of fun stuff over there. And hope to join you back here as often as possible. Brandon, it's been a blast, man. Thanks for having me. It's been a long time since I really dove into Dynasty as much as I have these last few weeks with you, man. It's been great.
Yeah, dude, I really appreciate you coming on. And for everybody that is in the Discord, Billy is there. He is. I think your username is also BWIT in there, isn't it?
Yeah, try to keep it the same, otherwise I forget.
Yeah, so if you guys want to ever get some opinions off Billy in the Discord, then I'm sure he wouldn't mind being tagged or anything like that
Absolutely.
either. So thank you guys for listening once again. Drop a rating, drop a review, go check us out Wednesday nights. We go live on Belly Up Fantasy with our boy Chris, and until next time, peace.